to stand as we prepare to share in the doxology. Of giving. We pray now, Father, that you would bless this offering in the name of Jesus. We pray that what we present to you today would be pleasing in your sight. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me ask Shirley Carson if she will come and share with us her announcement in regard to our health care on next Saturday.
Good morning. To all of Second Baptist Church, a protocol has already been established, but I'm here to make an announcement, not only to the members that are assembled here, but also those that are watching our service today via video conference. I would like to announce our health fair. Our health fair will be Saturday, August the 3rd, from 9 to 4. I'm asking each of the members and those that are out there in the community to please come and help us celebrate our annual health fair. During our health fair, we're going to have some renowned speakers, and I will just announce a few of them. We're going to have Dr. Carl Dukes, who is internal medicine nephrologist, and we're going to have our own Dr. Robin Dillard, and we're also going to have one of our own Dr. Lawrence Harkless. We'll have another doctor, Dr. Doss, and you really don't want to miss that because Dr. Doss will be here giving information about hearing, and she'll also be giving free hearing screening. And in the SBC gym, we're going to have exhibitors that are going to be surrounded that entire gym, giving good information out, as well as giving some freebies and some goodies out as part of our health fair. I would just like to ask each one of you to please come and help us celebrate health. Health is very, very important in our lives, not only today, but also in the future. So please come out and help us. The time is from 9 to 4. We have volunteers, but if anyone else would like to help us volunteer, we'll accept that as well. Thank you.
Thank you. I look forward to getting my ears checked, my heart checked, my sugar checked, and my blood pressure checked. It may be up after Monday, but I'm looking to have it checked.
Oh,
songbird, Joanne Johnson, leading. Thank you. This choir has been marvelous in sharing with us songs today. Songs that some of us grew up singing. Songs that moves the heart, makes the soul rejoice. So we're grateful to Sister Lee, who is our musician, for sharing with us. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, unto me. Eternal and everlasting God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, and Ralph David Abernathy, the God of the Freedom Riders, the God of Mother Wilson, the God of Clark Boggs, the God of Murphy, Deacon Murphy, the God of Ruth Burns. We thank you, our God, that you still sit on the throne, that the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, keep watch over us, over our days gone by, over our present days, on our tomorrows. We bless your name for the goodness, your goodness to the children of men. You have ordered our steps in your word, and sometimes we misstep. But you are a God of grace and mercy and forgiveness. We pray now your blessings upon the preached word. I realize that I'm not all I should be, but I thank you, our God, that you have brought me from a mighty long way. Not only me, but all of us. When we look back and see how far we have come, our souls cry out, hallelujah. Thanks be the God of deliverance, the God of liberation. Thank you for your liberating power. May that power be in the spoken word this day. That when we proclaim and when we hear, we all can testify what a mighty God we serve. Speak, Lord, for your people here. Use me as never before. Comfort those who are grieving in the message. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God who love God said, amen, 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 and amen. Lest I forget, I need to announce to the congregation that one of our members passed on Friday. John Wilrich Jr. He is the mother and father of our member, Naya Wilrich. He passed, and his services are being planned by Naya and her brother. And so we want to keep Naya in prayer. He was to assist Naya in leaving our city. Last Sunday was Naya's last Sunday at Second Baptist. She would not be worshiping with us every Sunday. She will be living in Houston, working for Our Lady of the Lake University. She got a promotion, and so she accepted the promotion and now living in Houston. And so we do not know about our tomorrows. Help me, somebody. But we do know who holds tomorrow. Our text today comes from the writing of the Apostle Paul to his son Timothy in the ministry. He writes these words. Got to change glasses so I can see. Somebody pray for the preacher. Say, Lord, let him see. I know who holds tomorrow, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good things which was committed unto thee, kept by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. The Apostle Paul writes these letters, and these letters to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy. We know that he says to Timothy, study to show thyself approval unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I thank God for the Apostle Paul, for the Apostle Paul writes to us in Romans that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. He writes and shares with us in his writings. He says to us, look, there is no name under the earth and above the earth wherein men may be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. I like the writings of the Apostle Paul because he gives us instructions. He says to the preacher that you are God's shepherd for the people. He says to fathers, love your sons and daughters. He says to mothers, love your children. He says to husbands, love your wife, and to wives, love your husbands. Paul gives instructions to us that we may learn to live a life that is in accordance with the will of God. Paul was not always named Paul. His name was Saul, born with the name Saul, the name of a great king, the first king of Israel. You remember, Israel wanted to be like the other people that were around them. And so the other people had kings that they could see. They knew that God was sovereign, but they wanted to be able to point and say, that's my God. And so that's my king. And so they asked for a king. I don't think Israel really wanted to turn away from God, but when you ask for something that is not of God, you're really turning away from God. And so they asked, and God looked at the people and said, okay, I will give you a king that you can look at, but watch what he does. And the king fell out of favor with God.
But nevertheless, he was great. He was a great warrior, tall in stature. Can I say something about being tall in stature? It doesn't matter how tall you are. It doesn't matter how short you are, how fat you are, how thin you are. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Thank God that ugly as I am, I can stand behind this sacred desk and declare that God is God, and above him there is none other. I can brush my hair and thank God that I do have hair. Hello, somebody. Those of us who are bald because of time or because of style, it's all right. Go ahead, be bald. But God can use you as a bald-headed preacher to stand behind this sacred desk and declare his word. You remember Saul, don't you? On his way to Damascus, he had the authority of the high priest to bring in bondage, to bring in shackles those persons who declared that they loved the Lord and who were disciples, followers of Jesus the Christ. He had this authority, and he was on his way to fulfill his mission here. A Pharisee of Pharisees. Here, a man with the highest education who had studied under the feet of great instructors, Gamaliel. He had studied under him. But guess what? There was a burning in him to make sure that the law was fulfilled. There are persons who know the law. There are persons who can recite the Ten Commandments. There are persons who can stand behind the sacred desk and proclaim the word of God, but lack the knowledge of God, lack the power of God. Matter of fact, they don't even know who God is. Oh. When I grew up in South Dallas, there were men who used to sit outside the barber shop. And they had dominoes in their hands. And they could play these dominoes, and they would say, "Thank God, 30. Oh, some of y'all know something about dominoes. Don't sit there like you don't know anything about dominoes. And then if they had to pass, they'd use another word. They didn't thank God that they had to pass. They say, "I be," y'all finish it. But these men knew the word of God. They knew the word, but they did not know the Lord giver, the law giver. They understood scripture in terms of reading it, but they did not let the Holy Spirit dwell in them so that the Holy Spirit could interpret the words for them. Saul goes to Damascus. He's on his way to Damascus. He is knocked from his beast. The Bible says that he falls from his beast. And he hears a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And then the voice gives him a command. He tells him what to do. He tells him to go on down to Damascus. And in Damascus, you'll find a preacher named Ananias. And the preacher is afraid when he hears that Saul is coming. Have you been afraid when you hear somebody is coming that you know don't mean you any good? Oh, come on here. That we got some family members we don't want to see come. Just see, they need to stay home. They know I don't like them. Why would they come to my house? Ananias is afraid. But God has a message for all of us who are afraid of people, and that message is fear not. Fear not. He's a changed man. In other words, he's been with God. Whenever you've been with God, there's something that changes your mentality. There's something that changes your personality. There's something that changes your speech. All of us still know those words that we grew up using, but we don't use them. Just sometime. Y'all catch that on your way home. Saul has changed, and so he's so changed until he can write to Timothy and to those of us who proclaim to be proclaimers of the word and say to us, stir up the gifts that's in you. Paul realizes that God has given every one of us a gift. And so he says to him, stir up the gift. But now Paul writes this letter to to Timothy, to tell Timothy, Timothy, no matter what you're going through, God can bring you through it. He's saying to Charles McKinney, don't worry, Charles. You have another father. He's your heavenly father, and he will provide for you as he has done in the past. And so he writes these words to encourage the people, to encourage us. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's really saying to us, don't worry about tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow. What are some ways people speak of tomorrow? I need your help. Some people say, I will see you tomorrow. Some people say, what is it about tomorrow? And then some people say, you will get it tomorrow. What do you say about tomorrow? I look forward to tomorrow. Help me, somebody. What do you say about tomorrow? Things will come out, or that will come out tomorrow. What else do we say about tomorrow? Tomorrow, thank you, Deacon Johnson. Tomorrow is another day. And then we say, don't worry about tomorrow. The Bible says that tomorrow will take care of itself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. David Eakin wrote, greater tomorrow. My tomorrow must be greater than today. His hands are not short that he cannot reach you. His eyes are never blind that he cannot see your tears. His ears are not deaf that he cannot hear your voice. Your tomorrow must be greater than your today. No matter what I face, no matter what I see, no matter what comes my way, no matter how I cry, one thing I know that is definite in my heart, my tomorrows must be greater than today. Then he shouts hallelujah. He says, I'm singing, I'm going to sing in my tomorrow. This is my song. This is my story. I'm going to testify in my tomorrow. Mama, don't cry. You're going to sing in your tomorrow. Papa, my brother, sister, don't cry. You're going to dance in your tomorrow. Wipe away your tears, my brother. You're going to testify in your tomorrow. Weeping endures for the night. Joy comes in the morning. You're going to dance in your tomorrow. And then he says, I can see an open heaven pouring down blessings in my life. I can see broken hearts amended. I can see better tomorrow. I can see the cloud has gathered. Check me out tomorrow. My tomorrow must be greater than today. I like the song that says the sun will come out tomorrow. But bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there will be sun. Just thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there is none. And then I like what the old folks used to sing. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live for today. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what lies ahead. I don't worry about tomorrow, for I know who holds tomorrow. Can I share with you some things about what I know about God? First of all, I know that he's a God of extremes. Generally speaking, it's only the extremes that most of us find interesting. For example, if you go to a football game and take a look at the crowd, take a close look, and then close your eyes, and somebody will ask you, "What do you remember about the crowd?" Most of us can't remember anything about the crowd, but we can remember that man that was had on no shirt, no t-shirt, 20 degrees weather, but 20 below zero degrees. He's standing in there with a sign saying, "Go Cowboys." We say how stupid he is, but we remember him. We may remember the man that's in the end zone with a sign that says, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have life everlasting." The God that I serve, the one that holds my tomorrow, is a God of extremes. He is a God of extremes, for he stepped out in darkness and said, "Let there be light," and just his voice, just his speaking, there was light. James Weldon Johnson, one of my favorite poets, in his poem, The Creation, talks about him stepping, and wherever he stood, placed his feet, that mountains came forth and rivers began to flow. And Jesus, God, then said, "I'm lonely," in his greatest creation. He still was lonely because he had no one to call his name. Oh, y'all walking with me? He had no one to shout out hallelujah, to had no one to say praise God. The cows could say moo, but they couldn't say how great thou. The Bible says, by the bed of the river, by the side of the river, he scooped up from the riverbed mud, clay, molded in the form of a man, and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Why was man created? He was created and given the skill to manage the earth, to be fruitful and to multiply. But greater still, he was given the power and the wisdom and the courage to praise God. Can I ask somebody the question? Is there anybody here that's made in the image and likeness of God that's willing to praise him today, to give glory and honor to the God who is a God of extremes? But can I share something else with you? Daniel 8:18 says, "He touched me and made me stand on my feet." There is something about God holding our hands. God holds our hands, and when he holds our hands, he gives us power. The power that God gives is effective within. It is not a power that coerces a person from the outside. Is a power which floods a person's being from the inside. Apostle Paul in Philippians 2:15 says, "I can do all things, not just some things, but all." All is conclusive. All is all. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Somebody said to me the other Sunday, "Reverend, I heard your voice. You got a lovely voice for singing. Why don't you just let that voice go? You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me." If I sing today, it's the power of God that is strengthening me from within, not from without. May not have the right tune, right pitch, but guess what? It's praise to God. And I like what our old father said, if I don't praise him, If I don't praise him, if I don't give God the glory, if I don't magnify his name, the rocks will cry out. I don't want any rocks crying out for me because I love the Lord. Why do I love the Lord, Reverend Thomas? I love the Lord because he heard my cry and pitied every groan. And long as I live and trouble rise, I'll hasten to his throne. God's power is effective within, does not coerce us. It's a power which makes a person most literally powerful. God holds my hand so I can stand on my feet. God holds my hand so he can direct my feet in the path of righteousness. Jude 24 says, now to him that is able to keep you from falling. Isn't it wonderful to have your somebody hold your hand to keep you from falling? Jackie and I was in Dallas on yesterday visiting with our grandchildren and with our son and with our daughter-in-law. We were getting ready to cross the street and Robert said to me, Daddy, take McKinley by the hand. And McKinley is a little different. She's only 4 years old, but she got her own mind. She got her own way. I said, McKinley, give me your hand. And then she misstepped and she was falling. And guess what she did? She reached her hand. Every now and then, God says, give me your hand. We say no. And then we trip and start falling. And then we say, precious Lord, take my hand. I feel like preaching here today. Take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I don't know about you, but I like the fact that he's a hand holder. When I'm sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, hears my cry and lifts me up and helps me to walk on water and not worry about the sharks in the water, not worry about the wind blowing, not worry about the clouds. He holds my hand. Secondly, God holds our hand by giving us people to serve him with. People to serve him with us. Everybody doesn't want to serve with us. Have you ever been in charge of a committee? There was somebody in that committee that didn't think you had the skills, that didn't think you had the knowledge, didn't think that you thought that you were just there because you look good. Say, hey, you there to win the dress. And they don't want to work with you. But then all of a sudden, you give them an assignment. Let me fix it like that. You assign, and then you give them an assignment. They look around to see who's going to help them work out that assignment and discover that there's no help but you. And then they come to you and say, you know, I what do you think about this? I want to say sometime, I wish you'd get out of my face. That's what I think. But because there's something within me that I cannot explain, I said, come here, man. Let me help you. Let me put it together. And when we put it together, guess what? God blesses it. God honors our togetherness, our unity, our oneness, because he is one God. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. God helps us, and he puts people in our way to serve him with us. You remember Paul and Silas? They were in prison. They had been serving God together. They had been talking about the power of the resurrection. They had been talking about what God could do. And they find themselves in prison because they spoke against man's inhumanity to man. They spoke against the fact that the owners of this young lady, this young damsel, was using her to tell fortunes and to tell of people's tomorrow. They complained, and Paul and Silas were put in prison. But guess what they did in prison? You know, when people walk with you, when they talk with you, they don't mind singing and praying with you. Somebody said to me the other day, Reverend Jim, I said, why isn't anybody in church? Because the folk you walking with and the folk you talking with and the folk you singing with, you're not walking and talking about God and the church and how the church can be built and how the ministries can be manifold, how the ministries can go forward. You're busy talking about you don't like this about your church. The negativism that you espouse, don't you think folks say, I don't know why you're going. I'm not going there, but you keep on coming. You keep on showing up. But let me tell you something. If you raise your value of your church and the ministry of your church and the value of people who worship in this church, don't you think more people will come? If you have a positive attitude about your choir, don't you think more people want to sing with you? I'm not talking about Second Baptist. I'm talking about Yan Baptist Church. Paul and Silas are in prison. I don't know which one said, guess what, man? I got a song, and I'm going to sing my song. And I don't know which one said, well, I'm going to be Johnson. I'm going to pray. Don't know which one. But the Bible says that because they were together in good days, now they're in prison and they're singing and praying. Some of us would have been in jail falsely accused, mad at God because he did not interfere. But let me tell you, God doesn't always break in the moment. He gives us some moments to think about where we are and from whence we've come and to think about his power. There is power in prayer. There's power in singing the great hymns and anthems of the church and the great gospels of the church. What would you sing if you were in jail? What would you sing if you were in jail? Come on, Lord, see about me. Would you sing, Jesus, be my lawyer, my jailer, get me out of here? Or would you say, not my will, but thy will be done? Guess what? Whatever song they sang, whatever prayer they prayed, the Bible says that heaven got the news and sent down an earthquake. The earthquake comes and he shakes the jail. Elvis Presley, you ain't got nothing on this. It was a jailhouse rock because of God's power, because of God's hearing the prayer of the righteous. He will hear your prayer. No matter where you find yourself, in jail, he'll hear your prayer. On a cross, he'll hear your prayer. On a seat in the kingdom, your king, turn to the wall. Turn your back on criticism. Turn your back on negativity and just lift up holy hands. He'll hear your prayer. They walked out. Why? Because God put the two to sing together. Martin Luther King and Ralph David Abernathy and Rosa Parks, the freedom fighters. You never hear of them during the civil rights movement fighting. They're there with Mary Lou Hamer singing, I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. They're singing those great spirituals. Before I be a slave, I'll be dead and in my grave. Then they're singing that great song, I want Jesus. Oh, yeah. I feel my health here. I want Jesus to walk with me. Can I ask the question, is there anybody here that ever walked with him? Is there anybody here that ever walked with him? Through danger, seen and unseen, you walk with him? Is there anybody here that sings that great hymn of the church? Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. I know who holds tomorrow. Finally, God holds our tomorrow through the eyes of faith. If you don't have any faith, you have no hope for tomorrow. You have to have faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, the elders received a good report. Abraham, who knew not Christ, but heard a voice saying to him, Abraham, Abram, Abram, I need you to leave your country. I need you to leave your kinfolks. Oh, I need to put a tag here. Some of us got kinfolk we just need to leave behind. Oh, y'all don't like that, do you? But there's some folk that just weigh you down. The Latin word for baggage is impedia. They impede your progress. They won't let you move as fast as you can go. Can I say something to somebody today? I said it to myself. I had some friends. I had some family members that I just had to turn loose. And whenever I come home from college, those people would say, hear that college boy, we gonna whoop his. Y'all finish it. I had to slip home at night because I didn't want to be beat up, spit upon, slapped around, and criticized for trying to do better. I finally got enough nerve to go home in the daytime. I had enough faith that God was going to see me through. And when I went through those gates, leaving into the projects, y'all don't know nothing about the projects. Y'all call them condominiums now. But they were projects when I was growing up. I went through that gate and looked up, saw Roy Lee, saw snakes, saw Guinea, saw all of them. And they said, here come that college boy. We go whoop here. You know what I said? Get ready, boy. Get ready. I got something in me. I've been to college, and now I know that I have a God that will stand by me. Hit me if you want to, but God has put running in my feet. Y'all kiss that when you get home. They swung, and I ran. But once I got in my house, I knew that in my house there was protection. In my house, whatever, if you came in my yard, you had to fight me, mother, grandma, Cleveland, and James Earl. I had somebody to war with me. Is there anybody got the Holy Spirit? Is there anybody got the name of Jesus that you're willing to run and then stop and fight? Put on the whole armor of God. Have faith in God. That's all I'm trying to say. Have faith in God. God will see you through. He'll take your hand. He'll walk with you. You may come to the garden alone, but while you're in the garden, God shows up. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I'm his own, and the joy that we share, no other has ever known. Paul says, I am persuaded Can I tell you something? I am persuaded that God will make a way. I am persuaded that no matter what comes my way, I have a Savior who will lift me from my fallen state. I am persuaded that Jesus Christ died on the cross that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly. I am persuaded that on that third day morning, he got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. I am persuaded that one day when this life is over, he's coming back for me. I am persuaded that one glad morning when this life is over, I shall go sweeping through the city with wings of angels. I am persuaded that there is a seat in the kingdom for me. I am persuaded that I got a role, you got a role, all of God's children. Paul said, I've been through something. And because I've been through something, I now am convinced that God is able. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The door to my Father's house stands open. I don't know about tomorrow, but I do know who holds tomorrow. He holds my hand. He walks with me. I am persuaded. I'm convinced of the power of the resurrected one. The church is standing. We invite you to come.